everybody, little boys and girls. We are having our quiz today. How many people have never been to one of our master quizzes? Anybody? Never been? Very good, very good. Okay. My name is Miles. I'm not the talk show host, Pastor The Rock. But welcome to church this morning. Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word.
Let's see your pens.
Yes.
Your lesson plan. Yes. Okay, you can put everything away. You don't need anything this morning except your brain and your mouth. That's right, you have to speak. Here's how the quizzes go. I'm going to ask you questions and give you answers, and you're going to shout back the answer. Now, if you're not feeling like shouting back the answer, well, hopefully you get into it this morning. Let me say a couple reasons why we do this. One, many people come to church week after week after week and really don't remember anything that they've learned other than they enjoyed it and they have a reason to go back, but might not remember anything in a way that you can use it and tell it back to somebody. This is a way to review all we've done. Specifically, this is the book of Mark. We've done the book of Exodus, Genesis. We've done the cults and religions. We review everything. And so this is we're going to go through the book of Mark and many of the sermons we went over, Transformations series. It's very important for you to have in your heart and in your mind information so you can draw on that information when you need it or you could tell it to other people. You don't want to be one of those Christians that you're a Christian but you don't know anything. Matter of fact, this whole push towards taking Christmas out of Christmas and saying happy holiday, don't fall prey to that. Say Christmas, but I think it's a very ingenious idea of what the devil has done to take Christmas out of Christmas, and it is the devil initiated it. And I think it's very creative, very ingenious. It's a natural next step after all the other ways he's taken God out of society. But the reason he can get away with it and the reason it works and the reason he would even think to do it is because our light is not that bright. And when I say our, the Christian community in the country, 85% of people say they're Christian, yet all these non-Christian laws are being made and we don't do anything about it. And we don't even have any power in our prayer life, and I say our nationwide, to change it. Because there's so many Christians that are not living by the Bible, not reading the Bible, not talking about it, not praying to people, praying for for people. We're not representing God in a powerful way, and one of the reasons we don't know what we believe. And so I say all that to say that I encourage you this holiday season is to fight. The best way to fight back that whole holiday thing is to be the best Christian you can be according to what the Bible says. And yeah, you can boycott Target, and now they change their mind or whatever. You could do all that stuff, but that's secondary. What's primary is our spiritual power that we use the spiritual weapons God has given us to pull down spiritual strongholds and not necessarily political and economic. So, amen. So the reason we do these quizzes is to kind of reinforce, here's the information we need to know. Now, when you leave here today, if you've never been through one of these with us, you should have in your mind, and so much so that a week from now, you'll still know the information, 50 or 60 things. And that's how it works. We're going to go rote repetition, back and forth, back and forth. Okay? Now, our quiz position, physical body, is the same as our wave position. We do the wave in the evening services because I don't want to disrupt some of the older crusty people in the morning. You're supposed to say, we're not crusty.
We're not crusty.
Okay. So good. You don't want to be crusty. And the wave position is booty back. Booty back. So put your booty back. It's another way of saying sitting up straight. If your booty's back, you sit up straight. Okay. Did you say booty in church? Yes. Does anybody not have a booty? Okay, thank you. Lord, I pray that you would quicken our minds and help us to learn. I pray we have fun today. And I pray that you would help us all learn how easy it is to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all ready? Okay, no. Okay, all your notes, you don't need them, just for your reading pleasure later on. Mark was the first gospel written. Everyone say first.
First.
Say first.
First.
90% of Mark is in Matthew and Luke. Say 90. Say Matthew and Luke. What percentage of Mark is in Matthew and Luke?
90.
Matthew, Mark, Luke are the synoptic gospels. Say synoptic. Because they can be seen together. Everyone do this.
Seen.
Say seen together.
Seen.
Everyone do this. Look at the person next to you if they're not doing this. Ask them why not. Okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. We're going to do one more thing. Now do this with your fingers. That means seen together. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are seen together. Say seen together.
Together.
They are called the what gospels? Sins, like cinnamon, the same. Optic is eye, seen the same. That's what that means. How many gospels are there?
Four.
How many gospels are there?
Four.
How many gospels are there?
Four.
And they are?
Mark,
okay, watch my hand movement. Watch my hand movement. How many synoptics?
Three.
How many synoptics?
Three.
How many total gospels?
Four.
Three. Say three.
Three.
And one.
One.
How many gods do we serve?
One.
How many persons in that Godhead?
Three.
Okay, I don't know if that means anything. It's just a little nugget for you for free. There are 16 chapters in Mark. How many chapters?
16.
What's the middle chapter?
Eight.
16 divided by 2 is?
8.
16 divided by 2 is?
8.
2 times 8 is? Some of y'all are so mathematically challenged, you won't say it. You're like, I'm not saying it because I know it's going to be wrong. 16 divided by 2 is?
8.
2 times 8 is?
16.
1 plus 1 is?
2.
Okay. And you are how many years old? Mark has 16 chapters. Okay. The first 8, the first half, Mark talked all about Jesus and confirms, validates Jesus is the Lord. At chapter 8, halfway through, Jesus asked Peter, who do people say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. From that point forward, the second half of the book, Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship and the fact that he's going to die. He didn't talk about that in the first 8 because he wanted to establish who he was. Are you with me? How many chapters in the book of Mark?
16.
What chapter is the middle chapter?
8.
And in that chapter, Peter made a confession. The confession of Jesus was the?
Christ.
Who made the confession in chapter 8?
Peter.
And Peter made a confession in what chapter? Very good. How many chapters in the book of Mark?
16.
What percentage of Mark is in Matthew and Luke? 90. And Matthew, Mark, Luke are called the what gospels?
The
gospels. And there are how many gospels total?
Four.
And the fourth gospel is?
John.
All the New Testament writers were eyewitnesses of the things they wrote about. Say eyewitnesses.
Eyewitnesses.
Or they were associates of eyewitnesses. Associates of what?
Eyewitnesses.
So all the New Testament writers were either eyewitnesses. Say eyewitnesses.
Eyewitnesses.
Or associates of eyewitnesses. Say eyewitnesses. Mark was an associate. He got all his information from Peter. Say Peter.
Peter.
Mark got all his information from Peter. Say Peter.
Peter.
Mark initially, I'm going to trick you now. You got to pay attention. Mark was initially a traveling partner of Paul. He was initially a traveling partner of who?
Paul.
Of who?
Paul.
They had a fight. They had a disagreement. They went on a missionary trip and they had a disagreement. And right in the middle of the missionary trip, Mark went home. That happened. He started traveling with Peter. Mark initially, keyword initially, was a traveling partner of who?
Paul.
But he got all his information from who?
Peter.
And Peter led him to the Lord. Who led Mark to the Lord?
Peter.
Mark had a cousin named Barnabas. Say Barnabas.
Barnabas.
Say Barnabas.
Barnabas.
Mark's mother had a big house, and in her house they had prayer meetings. What kind of meetings did Mark's mother have in the house?
Prayer.
And when Peter came over her house when he was miraculously released from prison. Say prison.
Prison.
Say prison. That's in Acts chapter 12. So Peter was supernaturally released from where?
Prison.
And he went to whose house?
Mark.
Say Mark's mother.
Mark.
Say Mark's mother.
Mark.
And Mark's mother had what kind of meetings in her house?
Prayer.
Because she had a what kind of house?
Prayer.
And Mark's cousin was who?
Barnabas.
Who?
Barnabas.
Who was Mark's initial traveling partner?
Paul.
And who was his longtime traveling partner?
Peter.
Where did he get all this information from?
Peter
was an eyewitness. Say eyewitness.
Eyewitness.
So Mark was an associate of an eyewitness. Okay. What percentage of Mark is in Matthew and Luke?
19.
How many synoptic gospels are there?
Three.
Now, Mark is a book of action. Say action.
Action.
Say action.
Action.
Mark's audience was a Gentile or non-Jew. Say Gentile audience.
Gentile.
Say Gentile.
Gentile.
Say Gentile.
Gentile.
And they were being persecuted in what Italian city? Say Rome.
Rome.
Say Rome.
Rome.
Rome, Rome, Rome. What word is used over 40 times in the book of Mark? Very good. You learned that. See how you remembered that from a month ago? Say immediately.
Immediately.
Say immediately.
Immediately.
If you read the book of Mark, it always says over 40 times, almost three times in every chapter, immediately Jesus did this, immediately this happened, immediately this happened, immediately this happened. If you read Matthew and Luke, you'll see the same thing. Why? Because they got it from Mark. Immediately, Jesus is constantly doing miracles, back and forth, back and forth. So immediately is used over 40 times. Say 40.
40.
Say 40.
40.
What word is used over 40 times in the book of Mark?
Immediately.
And he wrote to a what kind of audience?
Gentile.
They were being persecuted in what Italian city?
Rome.
Now, because he wrote to a Gentile audience, there's very little Jewish in the book. There's no Jewish genealogy. There's no Jewish customs. There's no Jewish law. There's no references to the law. There's no very few references to the messianic prophecies, basically the Old Testament, because his audience wasn't Jewish. So if you read through it, you'll see very little Jewish. Now, if you read Matthew, he writes to a Jewish audience. So he has, I think it's 120 references from the Old Testament to talk about Jesus, verifying Jesus as the Messiah, because his focus, his audience purpose was different. Okay? So Mark omitted everything what from his book? Just say Jewish.
Jewish.
Say Jewish.
Jewish.
Because his audience was not Jewish. They were?
Gentile.
And they were being persecuted in what Italian city?
Rome.
And he uses what word over 40 times?
Immediately.
He used immediately over how many times?
40.
How many chapters in the book of Mark?
16.
How many chapters in the book of Mark?
16.
16 divided by 4 is what?
4.
Very good. Very good. I tried to trick you. Trick you. I can't be tricked. I go through the wrong. Transformation. Transformation means that something is changed from one thing to another. It is what from one thing to another?
Change.
It is what from one thing to another?
Change.
Transformation requires faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. And the definition of faith in Hebrews 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Say hoped.
Hope.
Say hoped.
Hope.
The evidence of things not seen. Say seen.
Seen.
Say seen.
Seen.
Now watch this. Say. I'm going to say it, then you say it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the
substance of things hoped for.
So I'm going to say it, then you say it. The evidence of things not seen.
The evidence of things not seen.
Now watch this. It's Hebrews 11:1, definition of faith. You just memorize it. Let's do it. Faith is the
substance of things hoped for.
You're getting weak on me. Very good. The reason I'm pausing is because I want you to think. I want you to wait. I don't want to make it. If you say, I just want you to get it. So we're going to say it one more time. Now we're going to do it slow motion. I'll do it first and you do it.
Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen.
Okay, do it slow, but you got to do it a little louder than that. Follow the bouncing ball. Very good. Every time you inhale, your hope is that you inhale oxygen, that your lungs receive the oxygen, and that the transfer of oxygen and CO2 happens through the alveolar sacs in your lungs, which you have never seen. You didn't even know you had alveolar sacs, many of you. You've never seen your lung. You've never seen the blood come through that small membrane and make that transfer and take the oxygen back to your cells. You've never seen it happen, but you have faith. You hope it happened, but you've never seen it. You press your foot on the brake. You hope that the car stops, but you don't know how it works. You press the remote to your TV. You hope it works, but you don't know how. That's faith. You exercise faith constantly. God has given us faith, the ability to believe in something we hope for that we can't see. Okay? You put your faith in God, but you can also put your faith in yourself. Faith itself is not is something we all have. It's what you put your faith in. Are you with me? Okay, transformation means something being blank from one thing to another.
Change.
Say change.
Change.
Say change.
Change.
If everyone in this church witnessed to one person a week, in 1 year we reached 486,000 people. 486,000. Say 486,000.
486,000.
Well, are we just trying to reach a lot of people? Why are we so caught up in numbers? We are absolutely trying to reach a lot of people. Absolutely. All those people outside. That's the goal. Absolutely. Well, I just want to come to church and I don't want to do anything. Doing something is not necessarily part of what we're about. It's part of what being a Christian is about. If you have the idea that you're going to be a Christian and not do anything, you might rethink the fact that you're a Christian. Because a Christian does. Christ called, gave us the ministry of reconciliation and the message. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share that with people and how he has gifted us and called us. So doing something as a Christian, being called to ministry, is not optional. I am not the only person called to ministry. Every single, and I mean this completely serious, every single one of you are just as much called to ministry as I am, based on what the Bible says. Every single one of you. Now, that does not mean that every single one of you should be in full-time ministry like I am, but every single one of you is just as much called to share God's love from the Bible, when I mean from the Bible, the message of the Bible, with the people you know, just as much as I am. No different. I don't care if you work in a hospital, you work at the Qualcomm, but still just as much required to share your faith and share God's love as I am. And you can't find in the Bible where that's not true. You find evidence where it is absolutely true. So you should not feel like, well, I'm not called. You are absolutely called. It's an insult to God that you don't feel you're called. Think about it. Everything God made, he made to reproduce. All plants, all fish, all animals, they have seed of their own kind within themselves. The seed that God has put in you is a spiritual seed, an imperishable seed. And that seed's supposed to multiply. He has given you potential to multiply, and he expects return on his investment in your life. Matthew 25, read it. He calls the unfruitful Christian a wicked and lazy servant. Be challenged. Be challenged. Don't get settled. Don't be lazy and wicked. And wicked it is. Okay, how many? If we all witness to one person a year, how many people will we reach in 1 year? 400, that's a half a million people from one church. Just think of all the Christians in San Diego went out and shared their faith once a week. There'd be nobody talking about Happy Holiday. It'd be Christmas 365 days a year. Amen? Okay, one of the sermons we talked about was the parable of the sower, where the sower sows the word as a seed into the ground. The seed goes in the ground. Birds of the air take some of the seed away, the devil. Then other seed starts to sprout roots, but there's no foundation. There's rocks, so the roots can't grow, so the plant dies. Then there's some crops that grow up, and the cares of the world or the thorns and thistles choke them out. And then some grow up and produce fruit 30, 60, 90, 100 fold. You want to be a person that bears fruit 30, 60, 190 fold. Where people are hearing the faith, hearing about God, seeing God in your life, having their lives being transformed because of your life. Amen? Amen. So we had certain tools that we were going to use. One tool to nurture spiritual growth in our life was the eternal truth of God's word. And we want to use God's word to expose Satan's lies. Say expose. Expose. Say expose. Expose. So one of the ways to use God's word is to what? Satan's lies?
Expose.
Say expose. Another is the promises of God. We want to trust in the promises of God. Say trust.
Trust.
Say trust.
Trust.
Say trust.
Trust.
And then the freedom of Christ. We need to exercise the freedom of Christ to walk away from the cares of the world. Say walk away.
Walk away.
This is walking away. Say walk away.
Walk away.
When you see me doing this, this is pursuing. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But this is walking away. Say walking away.
Walk away.
So one of the tools is the truth of God's word. We're going to use the truth of God's word to do what to Satan's lies?
Expose.
Say expose.
Expose.
Everyone say expose. We want to use the promises of God. We want to what in the promises of God? Say trust.
Trust.
Say trust.
Trust.
The freedom of Christ enables us to do what to the cares of the world?
Walk away.
What does that mean? Does that mean that you, some of y'all, when you're not saved, you're a slave to sin? When you get saved, God sets you free. And you have now the ability, like you never had before, to walk away from your issues, your addictions, people that you feel in bondage to. You can walk away. You may not believe you can, but you can. You can actually change. You can change. Some of y'all, I'm sorry, we all have something about ourselves we don't like. Amen?
Amen.
You could change that. You could say, Lord, I surrender this part of me. It's wrong. Can you help me with that? Oh, yes. Now, we might not like the process where you got to have people hold you accountable to things and jam you up. But you want to get someone who loves you. It's not going to just jam you up to hurt your feelings. So Christ has given us the freedom to walk away. And my challenge to you is identify something in your life that you want to walk away from next year. Don't be that person anymore. I used to use cocaine. I walked away. I used to smoke marijuana. I walked away. If I didn't walk away from those things, I would not be here. And so you have to decide, this is wrong, and I got to change. Every day, for the rest of your life, that's going to happen. Transformation requires an active faith. Say faith.
Faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
Faith is the very good. Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith has two parts. Faith is about believing something. We talked about envisioning. You believe something, and then you act on that belief. If your faith does not act, it's not faith. It's just an idea. If you believe that stopping your car will happen if you press the brake, and you are running into a wall, and you don't press the brake, you've just proven that you didn't believe that's how you stopped the car. So if you believe God's word is true, you can only prove that to yourself and validate that your faith is real by reading and obeying it. If you don't read your Bible, you really don't believe that it has the answer you want. And I'm going to bet that a lot of you in here do not read your Bible every day faithfully and draw truth from it and guidance for your life. If that's the case in your life, which I know it is with somebody in here, that means you really don't believe that it's the best thing for you. You think that what you get from Howard Stern, MTV, CNN, wherever it is, Oprah, you believe that is better than the Bible, if that's what you look at and trust in more. Whatever your faith, whatever you act in, that's your faith. Whatever you believe in, you have to act on. So if you want to find out what you believe, find out what you do. If you want to change your belief, do something different. Are you following me? Okay. If you don't follow me, there's a tape in the back on this sermon. If you can envision daily victory in your life, if you can envision daily victory in your life, you have to respond by, one of the ways to respond is to avoid negative people. Say avoid.
Avoid.
Say avoid.
Avoid.
We all have people in our life who remind us of our faults, our weaknesses, our failures. Amen? They may not say to you, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're fat, you're a failure, you're never going to be anything, whatever. They may not say those words, even though we do have people who say those words. They may just represent that so clearly and vividly that as soon as you see them or think of them, you just go, oh, You know, do we... You heard about the lady, I told you this joke before, but I've told it last service and they laughed, so I figured they forgot it. Lady who went to the grocery store, and every day she went to the grocery store, the parrot told her she was stupid. Stupid lady. Every single Wednesday at 10 o'clock, she went to the grocery store to buy her groceries, and she walked out, and the parrot was by the front door, and as soon as she walked by, the parrot said, stupid lady. Stupid lady. Every day for a year, she got tired of it. She fed up. She went to the manager and said, listen, Miss Manager, I shop here every week, Wednesday, 10 a.m. to get my groceries. I'm a faithful customer, and I shouldn't be berated by that parrot who tells me I'm stupid every week. Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. We have many complaints. I'm going to talk to the parrot and straighten it out. I promise he'll never tell you you're stupid again. She said, he better not. I'm not coming back. I'm going to go to Ralph's down the street. So she starts walking around the store the next Wednesday shopping. The whole time she's thinking, this parrot better not call me stupid. This parrot better not say stupid lady. She pays. She's going towards the door. She can see the parrot because he's still in his cage by the door. And the parrot's just standing there. And she walks by. And she's waiting. And she looks at the parrot. And the parrot looks back at her and says, you know. We have those people, don't we? If you believe you can have victory over that, you got to avoid negative people. Say avoid.
Avoid.
She should have walked out the other door. Do not feel you are stuck with anybody but your spouse. Man, Pastor. You got just, if this person's your spouse, you just got to work that out. You should have worked it out before you got married, but since you didn't, you got to work it out. And for real, you got to work it out. If you can envision, we have counseling. If you can envision dreaming the impossible in your life, you must respond by developing and, watch this, pursuing God's plan. Say pursuing.
Pursuing.
Say pursuing.
Pursuing.
Say pursuing.
Pursuing.
Okay, if you're going to dream that God has something big for you, well, then start developing and pursuing the plan. Go get it. Don't wait around for it to happen, because it ain't going to happen. Ecclesiastes 5 says a dream comes through much hard work. The Bible. A dream comes through much hard work. Now, your hard work won't equate the blessing that God brings from that hard work. In other words, if you, on a scale of 1 to 10, work a 5, you don't get 5 in return with God. You get 30 or 100. God multiplies, but you have to do something. Amen? Don't think if you pray something and the prayer happens that you what happened was because your prayer was so good or powerful. God blesses us far beyond we deserve. It's called grace. If you did one good thing and got one good thing in return, God was just paying you what he owed you. He always overpays. If you go to a restaurant, you should overtip. Don't give ever as a Christian. Ever, ever give somebody a note that says, God blesses you. God bless you, and don't tip them. I was at a restaurant recently, and I was told this by, I can't remember, was it, you know, Christians don't tip, they write God bless you, they give them a track, and, you know, a blessing's better than money and all that kind of, no, give them cash. And a blessing, okay, and give them a good tip. But God doesn't, he doesn't, it's not a one-to-one, it's a one-to-infinite. But you have to do your part. So if you believe God can do an amazing thing in your life, you have to, if do the impossible in your life, you have to develop and start what a plan? Say pursue.
Pursue.
Say pursue.
Pursue.
And if you believe that you can have victory over your life, you got to do what to negative people?
Avoid.
Avoid. Say avoid.
Avoid.
Say avoid.
Avoid.
If you can envision God requesting your services, God saying, let's go. The only thing you can do is, the best response for you is to follow him. Say follow.
Follow.
Say follow.
Follow.
Say follow.
Follow.
John the Baptist confronted Herod. Herod was sleeping with his brother's wife, Herodias. John the Baptist told him, you're in sin. Herod put John in prison. Herod didn't want to kill him. He respected and feared him. So one day, Herodias, his brother's wife, his daughter, was dancing for Herod at a party. And Herod said, hey. He said, I like the way you dance. I'll give you anything up to half my kingdom. So she went back to her mother, Herodias, and said, what should I ask for? And Herodias says, ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. They went and killed John the Baptist. We learned three things about speaking the truth to people. Number one, speak the truth without fear of man. Say fear.
Fear.
Say fear.
Fear.
Speak the truth without fear of man. Number two, speak the truth not on man's opinion, but God's word. Say God's word.
God's word.
I'm sorry, just say God's.
God's.
Say God's.
God's.
We should speak the truth to people not on our opinion, but whose word?
God's.
Without fear, without what of man?
Fear.
Without what of man?
Fear.
We should speak the truth in love for the benefit of the hearer. Say benefit.
Benefit.
Say benefit.
Benefit.
Don't ever speak the truth to somebody because you want to tell them off. Straighten them out. Show them what's right. Nope. Spirit of love. Spirit of love. It's a hard thing to do because we like being right. We like being, you know, boom, instead of saying, look, you know, I want to just share this with you out of love. Amen? You want to get someone in your life like that, that has the permission to tell you anything. Now, don't think that you have to be somebody's accountability partner to tell them the truth. If someone offends you or you see something blatant in someone's life, you are obligated somehow to talk to them, not to five other people, to them. If you can't talk to them, don't say anything, or you're in sin. You're talking about them because they're doing something wrong, you're in sin. So you need to deal with your own sin first. Are you with me? But then when you go to them, you go to them in love. Now, if you're scared of what they're going to say, that's not your problem. Your problem is just doing this, speaking without fear of man, based on God's word, not your opinion, because your opinion means
nothing.
And in a spirit of love for the benefit of the person, not your benefit. A lot of times when we try, well, I'll get to that in a minute. We'll go to the next one. We talked also about Jesus sending his disciples into the boat to walk on the water. When Jesus sends you to go someplace, you should go. Say go.
Go.
When Jesus tells you to get in the boat or go where he's telling you to go, you need to what?
Go.
You need to what?
Go.
And then when the waves start to come or the circumstances don't go your way, instead of fighting the waves, you need to ride the waves. Say ride.
Ride.
Say ride.
Ride.
When Jesus tells you to go in the boat, you need to what? And then when the waves come and circumstances don't go the way you want, what do you do?
Ride.
Ride. And when Jesus stands on the water in front of you, standing on the water because he's walking on the water and he tells you to step out of the boat, you need to step. Say step.
Step.
Say step.
Step.
Say step.
Step.
When Jesus tells you to get in the boat, you need to?
Go.
Everyone say go.
Go.
Everyone say go.
Go.
And when the circumstances don't go your way, instead of fighting them, you need to what?
Ride.
And when he says come out of the boat and step into the unknown, you need to what?
Step.
You need to what?
Step.
Very good. We are almost done. Let me see. Give this last one. Transformed Christian has as a priority ministering to the needs of others. Say needs.
Needs.
It is our responsibility to be prepared to minister to other people. This is critical. It says minister to the needs of others. Say needs.
Needs.
Say needs.
Needs.
When you are going to help somebody, don't help them for you. In other words, don't offer somebody help so you can benefit. You will benefit, but don't do it for that reason. Example. You want to give somebody tickets to somewhere because you want to feel good about yourself giving them tickets. And they don't want your tickets. And you get offended because they don't want your tickets. Why are you offended? Because giving the tickets was all about you and not them. You get offended because it was about you. It wasn't about them. You wanted to do something good in your own eyes so you could feel good. Now, is anything wrong with that? It's wrong if that was the whole motivation was selfish. When you minister to somebody, it should be based on what their need is instead of what your desire and selfish want is. And if you find yourself trying to give somebody something and you're offended because they don't want to receive your help, who are you to say what they should do? It's all about you, but it should be that way. It should be about what they need, okay? You follow me? Have you ever had someone do that to you? Have you ever done it to somebody where you got mad because they didn't want to receive from you what you wanted? That's their business. Now, they could be what you could be offering them could be the best thing for them, but that's their problem. It's not your problem. You just offer it to them. It's all you can do. Transformed Christian has as a priority ministering to the what of other people?
Needs.
Say needs.
Needs.
Say needs.
Needs.
The transformed Christian honors God with his resource. Say honors. He does what with God with his resources?
Honors.
Say honors.
Honors.
Say honors.
Honors.
The transformed Christian commits all his works to the Lord. Say works.
Works.
Say works.
Works.
Say works.
Works.
Okay, we're going to go back to the beginning, then we're going to be done. Everyone sit up, booty back. Booty back, booty back, booty back. Look at the person next to you, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. Are y'all ready? Booty back. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
It's getting loud as I go. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Are y'all ready? Are y'all three over there ready? Yeah. Okay, here we go. Mark was the what gospel written?
First.
How many gospels are there?
Four.
Which was the first one written?
Mark.
What percentage of Mark is in Matthew and Luke? Mark, Matthew and Luke have what percentage of Mark in them? 90% of Mark is in what two books? Mark, 90% of Mark is in what two other Gospels? Are y'all tired? You get no sympathy from me if you're tired. Okay, because it's my third one. 90% of Mark is in what two Gospels? Let's name the four Gospels. Faith is the Matthew, Mark, Luke are called the what Gospels? Because they can be what together? All the Gospels and New Testament books were written by what? Or associates of what? Mark's initial traveling partner was? But they had a fight and then he traveled with who? Who led him to the Lord? Very good. It's how many chapters in the book of Mark?
16.
What's the middle chapter?
8.
And in chapter 8, who made a confession?
Peter.
And Peter made a confession that Jesus was the?
Christ.
Very good. If you go up to someone and someone says, hey, do you know the book of Mark has 16 chapters and chapter 8 was a turning point, blah, blah, blah. They're going to be like, how do you know all that? And those very simple 10 facts. If someone said that to you about a book in the Bible, you would be so impressed. thinking they know everything. All you got to know is what someone else don't know, and they think you know everything. Okay? That's what called being a parent is, okay? Say one thing they don't know, and they can keep them off guard. So it's that simple, just to learn a few things. You do this a little bit every day, you'll be amazed. If you did 10 facts a day, which we just did about 10 facts, in those first three questions, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9, 10. There's 10 in the first three questions. If you do that once a day, that's 3,600 facts a year. Wow is right. It's that simple. 5 minutes. When you read the Bible, I challenge you, as you read it, write questions. And write questions whose answers you don't know. Go and look them up. Then fill in the blank and have someone ask you. You'll be amazed. Because remember, God's word is living and active. When you learn facts, God fills in it with, he uses it in your life. He brings it back to memories. It's supernatural. It's not just lists. It's supernatural, okay? Mark's initial traveling partner was? Mark's initial traveling partner was? Mark's cousin was? Mark's mother had a big house. They had what kind of meetings in the house? And Peter came out of the house when he was supernaturally released from? Mark is a what book? Mark's a what book? It was not written to the what community? Very good. It was written to the who community? And they were being persecuted in what Italian city? And what word they used over 40 times? Over 40 times they used what word? Immediately was used how many times? Very good. Very good. Transformation. Transformation is one thing is what to another? Transformation happens when something is blank from one thing to another? Transformation happens when one thing is blank from one thing to another? Very good. Faith is the substance of things what? Evidence of things not what? Faith is the? Very good. If every single person in the Rock Church witnessed to one person per week in some form or fashion, we would reach how many people per year? 486,000. Now, forget that that's a big number. Just worry about your one. Check this out. 52 people a year. Have a party. Invite 52 people over. Put in the tape. You're done. You got to have 52 friends, though. Or you could have 5 parties of 10 each. You know what I'm saying? Same 10. Parable of the sower. We use God's word to what Satan's lies? Expose. Say expose. Expose. Say expose. Expose. The promises of God, we need to what in them? We need to what in them? We need to what in them? The freedom of Christ, we need to exercise the freedom of Christ to do what to our cares of the world? Say again. Say again. Very good. If you have faith, faith is 2 steps. You have to envision something, believe in something, then respond. If you believe that you can have victory over your life, you have to do what to negative people? Say what? If you believe in the impossible in your life, you have to develop and what a plan? Say pursue. If you believe that God is requesting your services and he loves you and wants you to do something for him, the only response for you to do is what him? Go. Go is true, but this word is follow. Say follow. Follow. Very good. Say follow. Follow. If he tells you to get in the boat, you need to what? Go. Very good. Speaking the truth. Speak the truth without what of man?
Fear.
Without what of man?
Fear.
You need to speak the truth not on man's opinion, but based on whose word?
God.
Based on whose word?
God.
Am I talking too fast?
No.
Okay. No. God. Yes, I am coming to work. If God tells you to get in the boat, you need to what?
No.
Speak the truth without what of man?
Fear.
Based on not a man's opinion, but whose word?
God.
Speak the truth in love for the what of the hearer?
Benefit.
The what of the hearer?
Benefit.
Everyone say benefit.
Benefit.
Say benefit.
Benefit.
What word is used over 40 times in the book of Mark?
Fear.
When God sends you into the boat and the waves and circumstances of life don't go your way, instead of fighting those waves, you need to do what?
Cry.
You need to do what? And when Jesus tells you to step out of the boat and step into the unknown, you need to what?
Step.
You need to what?
Step.
Say it 3 times.
Step, step, step.
When you're going to help people, I think this is it right here. I think this is very good. This is it. A transformed Christian wants to minister to people. We need to minister to the base on the what of other people.
Peace.
Say what?
Peace.
Say what?
Peace.
And we need to blank God with all our resources. What?
Honor.
Say honor.
Honor.
What does that mean? It doesn't mean you give everything away. It means you make it available to God. Say, God, what do you want me to do with my house, my car, my money, my brain, my intelligence, my education, my degrees, my contacts? What do you want to do with it? God has not given it to you for you. Your house is not for you. Now, he's given it to you to live in, to enjoy, to take care of, but it's his. And if he wants you out of the house, he will move you out. Amen? Amen? We've had things before that we thought was for us, but it's really God is blessing you with it for a time, but it really is his. And when he wants you to leave, he wants you to give it up, he wants you to share it, have a small group at your house, let him do that. Don't say, this is mine, God, you can't have it. Little kids do that. You'll see that in a week from today. It's Christmas. This is my toy. And you try to take it. No, this is my. Children do that. We're not children, technically. Transformed Christian commits all their works to the Lord. Say works.
Works.
Say works.
Works.
Say works.
Works.
Give yourself a hand. Amen. You. Now let me say this one thing and then you have to leave. It seems very simple. Personally, this is just my own personal, I cannot sit there and read a bunch of stuff and just memorize it. I make lists like this and go over. And that's just me. But I'm telling you, it's something as simple as this, you can learn anything. And one of the best ways to learn is to teach something. So if you read something, say, I want to be able to tell this to somebody, you make questions and quiz yourself. But figure out a way you learn, but don't just come to church and get what you get, forget it by the time you get home, and wait till next week. If you did this every day, just a little bit, just commit to 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Do 3 questions a day. 5 minutes with someone in your family, someone friend. Oh, you'll be amazed. If you're faithful in little things, God will bless you in big things. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. And I pray we would be bright lights this Christmas, be able to talk about Jesus intelligently, and that you would empower us with your Holy Spirit from on high, that we may be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Next week, no 8 o'clock service. Saturday night, 5:30, 7:30, and then Sunday, 2 different messages. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas.